All right, thank you so much. You can be seated. Well, let's get through these announcements, let you know what's going on. And we are, of course, kicking off our, in the month of February, our missionary missions emphasis month, and off to a great start. Let me say a few words about that just a little later. On this Wednesday, don't forget our youth soul winning young people, 3:30. We leave here and go out. 6:15, meet back here for youth choir practice, also children's choir practice, 6:15. Then our master's clubs are in full swing, going well, good reports there. And, of course, our 7 o'clock preaching and prayer meeting time. Then, of course, don't forget our adult visitation at 9:15 this coming Saturday. Now, also, I want to meet with those that would be interested in helping out on this coming Saturday on our Operation Think of It project, where we're going to go to the National Guard Armory down in Linton. And I want to meet you down here, men that can go with me. Also, ladies, we want to provide dessert for them on lunch break on Saturday. And we have to be down there at 11 o'clock, and we're going to set up. And so if you can just come to this meeting, I'll tell you what I need. But I'm going to need some help. I'm going to need probably 12 to 15 pies and probably about 8 cakes. And actually, I need 8 pies and 4 cakes, but I want to be able to take something home with me at the end of the day. So, you got to plan ahead on these things. So, but if I'm going to need some help, seriously. So we have 60 men that we'll be able to chance to speak to, minister to, give the packets to, and shake their hand and thank them, have a word of prayer with them, and be able to witness to them. And so I'm excited about that, and that'll be tonight right after the service meet here. Also, next Saturday at 2 o'clock, we'll meet back here then for a memorial service for Robert Petz, and don't forget that. I want to remind you again tonight, I know there's a lot of things going on, and after services, we all get caught up in the fellowship, but if you haven't signed up for the Valentine Banquet, try to get that done this evening, okay? We really need to get as close as possible to an accurate count of who'll be going. And so that will be, of course, on Monday, February 13th at 7 o'clock. I'm looking forward to that. That's always a sweet time, good time. Looking forward to having Brother Kevin Albert come and speak to us. I'll tell you, I love Brother Kevin. He's just a dear friend, but also just one of the most gracious men of God you will ever meet in your life. And you'll really enjoy hearing him. His wife's a little kooky, but he's really all right there. And I can always say these things knowing that no one from my church will ever repeat what I say to any of our guests that come in here, so I feel the freedom to be able to do that. If you didn't hear this morning, I want to make this announcement again and again, apologize. This was kind of something that was a little bit out of my control, but Teen Camp Week, we're changing the dates from when it was originally announced to July 3rd through 7th. Now, it's the 1st of February, so we're giving you plenty of advance notice of the change, okay? July 3rd through 7th is our Teen Camp Week this year, and I want our young people to come. I'm very excited. Brother Charlie Clark will be speaking down at Indian Creek Baptist Camp that week, and I want our young people to hear him. You're in for a treat, and God has used this guy all over the country. He's the real deal. He'll help our young people, and we're praying already towards those camp dates and asking God to do something sweet and special there. So a lot going on, but praise the Lord, it's good. And at this time, we're going to have Brother Reiser come and read the missionary letter, and we'll have a special word of prayer for our missionary of the week. And then right after that, I'm going to come back up, and I'm going to see if we can get Brother Lawrence up here for a few minutes and let you ask some questions, okay?
Okay, our missionary of the week is Chris and Jana Lee, missionaries to Namibia, Africa. This one was just dated from January the 16th. Dear praying friends, may every blessing be yours in Christ for this new year of 2006. Jana has made a slow but steady recovery from her two surgeries in 2005, and just when we thought the coast was clear, she slipped a disc in her back the first week in January. It has been very painful, and she still needs to wear a back brace for 2 more weeks and cannot bend over or pick up anything. December was busy with different outreach ministries. We held a neighborhood Bible time in our yard for 119 children with the theme, "The Gift of God is Eternal Life Through Jesus Christ Our Lord." What a privilege it is to share the Word of God with young people whose hearts have not been hardened by life and sin. The construction of the Oshandora I think I pronounced that right, probably not, but something like that, Conference Center, which is to be our new church building, was delayed in December, but is now complete and ready to use. And this Sunday will be our first service. I am still ministering to three rural Baptist churches in Owamboland. The lay pastors of these small congregations are really poor and in great need of so many things. We are thankful that we are able to help them as much as we are. And then it says, we are now busy preparing for a new term of deaf school. The school year starts in January here. One after-school program is teaching a series on the life of Christ until Easter time. We are very grateful to some Christian people in the Netherlands who are supplying us with a large amount of donated clothing items for the children, and it is a great pleasure to be able to help those destitute children with items of basic necessities. We want to thank those of you who have encouraged us during our past few months of sickness with your emails, letters, phone calls, and financial support. You have truly lifted our burdens and has given us strength to continue serving our wonderful Savior here in northern Namibia. May God bless you, Chris and Jana Lee. Those are missionaries of the week, and then our college student of the week is Justin Daffron at New England Baptist College. Let's have a word of prayer for those at this time. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for our missionaries, God. Thank you for those who are, Lord, going throughout the uttermost part of the earth, Lord, in our place, God. They're trying to reach folks, God, for you. And Lord, would you pray for the Lees, Lord, as they're ministering to these folks in Africa. And God, we pray that you bless them and help them, God. We do pray for Mrs. Lee, Lord, her back. We pray that you continue to heal her and help her. Lord, for their new their building project, Lord, getting ready to go up. Lord, pray that you'd bless there, Lord, their deaf school. And Lord, all that they're facing, Lord, there. And I pray that you'd help them, Lord, and encourage them, Lord. And be with them as they try to reach these folks for you. Now, God, we pray that you'd also bless Justin, Lord, as he's at the Bible College preparing to serve you. And we ask that you would help him and bless him and empower his life and help him to be everything you want him to be. Now, Lord, we thank you for all you've done for us. Thank you for the opportunity to support missions. In your name we pray. Amen.
Well, praise the Lord. Thank God for Brother Lee. I tell you what, people that know Chris Lee, other missionaries that know Chris Lee, when they see his letter up in that board, I've had several missionaries that know of him and know of him and his wife's work. And when missionaries are bragging on other missionaries, you know that they're the real deal. And we appreciate the Lees and their faithfulness there. Well, Brother Lawrence, if you'll make your way up here, what I would like to allow the church to do is we'll take, why don't we do this till 7:30? I'm going to have a cutoff at some point. But what I'd like you to do first, I had a wonderful conversation with him about the, I'd like to maybe have you just start out by letting the folks know about some of the laws and the limitations that our missionaries are under that are serving in Israel, and how carefully they have to proceed and what they can and can't do and the consequences if they don't. Maybe give our folks a little understanding of the challenge of that mission field. And then if you'll open it up for questions, folks, if you have questions, specific questions about Jewish missions, here's the man. We brought him in. This is the guy to ask, all right? So come on.
Well, I'm not an expert on everything, but I'll try, and if I don't know, well, I'll say I don't know. But in Israel, we do have, as I mentioned, I think this morning, we have four families in Israel. It's our biggest mission field for our mission, and we have two more families on deputation to go to Israel. We're working in several different cities. We have a special project over there, Project Nehemiah, that is approved by the Israeli government. We go, with Project Nehemiah, we go and we give baskets of different kinds of things, or five or six different baskets, and actually churches support that ministry, send us a gift for the price of a certain type of basket. Sometimes many churches do it on a monthly basis. And of course, what we do is we take the basket, and our missionaries over there and the volunteers will go and deliver baskets to a certain city. I believe we're working in 10 cities in Israel now. And we'll go to Jewish immigrants, that is, people who've come into the country, often third world Jews. Now, we think of Jews as rich people, but that's really not true. Now, that's true in America a lot of times, but it's not true with Jewish people coming to Israel from third world countries, especially Eastern Europe. And so we'll give them a basket, and sometimes it's a kitchen basket for a lady that'll help her to furnish her kitchen, pots and pans, all that stuff. And on that basket will be a card that will say, this basket is a gift to you from the members of Blessed Hope Baptist Church in Jasonville, Indiana. Well, Jewish people, absolutely can't believe that any Christians would be giving them any kind of thing like that, so it often just melts them away. Brother Piles tells me that just as often as not, especially if it's a lady, they'll just melt into tears. And so that's a real ministry, and it opens a door then for us to go back and have that. We give them a little card where they can contact the church if they want to. You can't, and that leads me into the laws in Israel. Evangelization as we know it, trying to convert people, is illegal in Israel. We don't call our missionaries, we call them ambassadors, because missionary is an absolutely forbidden word in Israel. The very word can get you kicked out of the country. Dealing with people giving out tracts, for example, on the streets and things like that is completely forbidden. You can't do that. Now, if someone asks you, or you have a personal conversation and you are in a restaurant with somebody and you get into a conversation with them, then you can leave them a tract discreetly. You have to still be very careful. You give the wrong tract to the wrong person in Israel, for instance, an Orthodox rabbi or something, and they'll go right to the council and they'll go right into the courts and get you kicked right out of the country. None of our missionaries can stay in Israel longer than 3 months at a time. They have to come and go. That's why it's so expensive to send a missionary to Israel, because they have to come in and out of the country every 3 months. Literally, they have to go to Turkey, or they go to Cyprus, or they go somewhere for at least 4 days, usually, before the Israeli government will then let them back in and reissue their visa. So there's no such thing in Israel as a permanent kind of visa, although our field director is about on the verge of getting a one-year visa, and that would be a real miracle if he can do that. Essentially, another thing that is totally illegal is witnessing to young people. Anyone under the age of 18, you cannot witness to, as we know it. You cannot try to convert them to Christianity. That's how they view it. And so it's a pretty, you wouldn't think that. You think that Israel's a democratic society, and by and large it is, but they're concerned with keeping Jews, Jews. And they have that as a certain really high purpose of the Jewish state is for Jews. Now, there are Messianic Jews in Israel, and they do slip in. But even a Messianic Jew, you can't not tell the government when you're coming into Israel that you are a Christian or a Messianic Jew. They will not let you into the country if you do that. So they have to go in without divulging that information. So that's the kind of situation we're dealing with in the country of Israel. It's a very delicate situation. You can certainly pray for the missionaries who are there, because at any moment they're in a certain danger of being uncovered and kicked out. That's why we try to stay away from the Orthodox areas in Israel as a settlement area. So, for instance, our main ministry is out of Tel Aviv. Tel Aviv is largely a secular city, whereas Jerusalem is a religious city. That's where all the Orthodox rabbis are and the religious people in Jerusalem. There are other centers of Orthodox Judaism in Israel. There's a city up north called Safed, which is a hotbed of Orthodox Judaism. And there are others in the south. Arad in the south of Israel is also an Orthodox city. But we try and stay away from those areas, at least not to settle there. And often we don't really work as much in those cities, because that presents a certain danger. Now, we do deal with those people when we have occasion to, but it has to be the Lord. It's one of those places where you very much need the leading of the Holy Spirit before you talk to people. You have to know that God is leading you to talk to someone, and especially in the Orthodox area. So that's the kind of situation that really exists there, and so you can pray for people in that regard. Any questions that anyone would have? Yes, sir.
Would a Jewish Christian who lived in Israel, born in Israel, he have to play the same roles that a missionary?
Well, they have a little more liberty, because now once they're citizens of Israel, they obviously can't kick them out. So they have a certain measure of liberty that a foreign missionary would not have. Yes, that's correct. They do have a certain liberty in that, because no, they could not be kicked out. For instance, we have a girl who works at our mission, Hagit, She was converted by translating a tract, one of our Isaiah 53 tracts, into Hebrew. And she was converted through that experience. Of course, David Piles, our field director in Israel, witnessed to her and her family for a number of years. But that was the, and she now works in our office in Hickson, and she is a Hebrew Christian, and she works in Hickson as the coordinator here in the States for Project Nehemiah. But for instance, if she went back to Israel, now she was born in Israel, she's an Israeli citizen, and they couldn't do very much to her. So she's in a special, unique situation that way. Mm-hmm. Anyone else? No questions? Yes, sir.
If someone's in the privacy of their home, say a missionary, someone comes to your home and eating a meal with you, and then you witness to them about Christ in the privacy of your home, even if they're under 18, would that still be against the law?
Yes, it would be. You just you really can't do that. And in fact, the missionaries are reluctant to invite strangers into their home for that reason, because they don't want just any old Israeli citizens to really be knowing, you know, that a lot of them to know that they're there and to discover why they're there and so forth and so on. So it's a very delicate kind of balance that they have to maintain. When we email them or call them, we literally use code to communicate with them. We never say church, we never say pastor. If I write to one of them and one of their pastors has called me, I just use a P and they know that means pastor. I use a C and they know that means church. But I never say those words in an email, because the Israeli Secret Service is the best in the world. Now I will tell you, I believe probably that the Israeli government knows that they're there and knows probably why they're there. But because of Project Nehemiah and other things that we do, the Israeli government tolerates us. And, of course, these days, the Israeli government is looking for friends, as you might imagine. And the Israeli government does realize that evangelical Christians are their friends. So they're a little more, maybe you'd say lenient, but they probably turn their back somewhat on some of what our reasons are for being there. They just kind of ignore it. But when an Orthodox rabbi or something like that begins to make an issue of someone, they can't ignore it then. They have to deal with it. Yes?
So it
No.
You have a place.
Yes.
You meet
Yes. And now Jews can come there on their own. We're not able to have a, you know, we meet, the meeting place there is on a second floor, downtown Tel Aviv. That's where the church is located. It's a rather small space for the church they have, because they have more than 100 people coming out to meetings now. But they do have a public meeting place, and they're able to do that. But they can't go out and, you know, haul people in there. But if Jews want to come there on their own, of course they're welcome to do that. But you have to be very careful again about, you know, how you invite people to come there. Yeah. Yes, sir. Yes, they do. They do, and they do especially in certain countries rather than others. In certain countries, for instance, where anti-Semitism is known to be a big problem, they will literally pay for to relocate thousands of Jews. Like, I don't know if you know, but Ariel Sharon, like last year, you know, I was in France for many years. Ariel Sharon would inflame the French government because he would come to France and he'd say, you know, France has a strong anti-Semitic kind of, and he would say, "You Jews, what are you, stupid? You need to come to Israel." And the president of France would go berserk, you know, because he was encouraging them to leave. And they had a program where they paid for any French Jews who wanted to go to Israel. The Israeli government would pay for it. The Israeli government just for instance relocated 17,000 Argentinian Jews to the city of Beersheba. That's why we're praising the Lord that we have a Mexican missionary going to Israel, because he's going to work down there with those Spanish-speaking Jews in the city of Beersheba with one of our American missionaries. They're going to work as a team. So there's a lot of opportunity. But yes, they definitely relocate, and they more or less pay all expenses for Jewish people coming to Israel from third world countries. Now, when they get there, they don't pay. They have to get a job. They have to learn Hebrew. They have to do a lot of things. And so often they come to Israel, even though their way is paid to get there, they come to Israel only with a suitcase or with what they have on their back. The Israeli government, for instance, won't pay for them to move their whole household or things like that. So they have to come to Israel pretty well without nothing a lot of times, and then they have to resettle themselves. They go into resettlement centers, and then from there they receive help to get a job, help to learn Hebrew, and of course to settle themselves in the society. Yes, sir. Well, they have a fairly strong economy. They have a strong trade, but they do have a higher unemployment rate than probably we would be used to here. So that's a drag on their economy. But they have a fairly strong economy, and of course they do have, by and large, a market economy. Although they have socialist forces in Israel that we wouldn't have here. With the Labor Party in Israel, they kind of have a socialistic program. Now, they have been in power, of course, for some years, but if they were to come back into power, you might see more of a European-style socialism there in Israel, because that's what that particular party espouses. So, anyone else? No? Okay, yes, one more. Well, it's not that you can't even talk to anybody else. You can't talk to Jews. Now, if you want to talk to the Palestinians, remember 700,000 Arabs live in Israel, and they live there freely. They represent. If you want to talk to them about Christianity, the Israeli government would be happy to let you talk to them, but not to Jews. In several cities, there are Palestinian churches. There's a Palestinian Baptist church in Jerusalem, for instance. So there are Palestinian Christians and preachers, but by and large, those are open. You can talk to any of those people freely. There are Christianity is not illegal in Israel. No, the Catholic Church has centers there. Most of the Orthodox churches have centers in Israel. So Christianity itself is not illegal in Israel. It's what's illegal is to proselytize the Jews to try and change their religion to any other religion, not just Christianity. But to change them to any other, to convert them to any other religion. They view that as absolutely unconscionable to try and convert a Jew from Judaism. It's because to the Jews, when you convert to Christianity, you are no longer a Jew, contrary to what I preached this morning. That's not how they view it. Dr. Gartenhaus used to say, I'm a completed Jew, but now a Jew who's unconverted would never accept that. If you become a Christian, then you're no longer a Jew in their eyes. So, okay, well, we've gone over, so we better quit. Thank you. We've had a great day, and we thank you very, very much for your hospitality and your warm welcome, and the Lord bless you all.
Thank you, brother. Sing one more song. 363, number 363. Ushers, you come on this song.
Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of love. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of love. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words. Wonderful words, wonderful words of love. Christ the Blessed One gives to all wonderful words of love. sinnerless to the loving God, wonderful words of love, all so freely given, wooing us to heaven. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of love. Sweetly echo the gospel call, wonderful words of life. Offer pardon and peace to all, wonderful words of life. Jesus, only Savior, sanctify forever. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life.
Well, this has been good, hasn't it? I tell you what. And thank you, Brother and Mrs. Lawrence. I mean that with all my heart. I appreciate you taking your time and coming up here. And I know you got plenty to do at home. And but thank you for being our guest. And Brother Brian, would you lead us in prayer tonight?
Newborn, all my life has been rearranged. What a difference it made when the Lord came and stayed in my heart. Oh yes, I've been changed. Like the poor Hebrew children, I wandered long in a bare desert land to and fro. But I crossed over Jordan to Canaan's land, where the milk and honey flow. When at last in his presence I stand above, he will wipe all the tears from my eyes, and I'll thank him for giving a wretch like me lasting hope beyond the skies. I've been changed, I've been newborn, all my life has been rearranged. What a difference it made when the Lord came and stayed in my heart. Oh yes, I've been changed.
Well, that's good. Let's go to Acts chapter number 1. Acts chapter number 1. Acts chapter number 1. What a blessing. Well, young people, our young people had a great weekend. Went down to Owensboro, Kentucky. It was a tiring weekend. And so we're not going to start school tomorrow till 10 o'clock, okay? We'll start school at 10 o'clock tomorrow, all right? 10 o'clock tomorrow we'll start school. Amen? No. But trust me, I know these kids. They need all the education they can get, so 10 o'clock we'll start, okay? All right, let's all stand to our feet. We're going to read one verse, very familiar, Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. And again, we're taking this month, the month of February, and emphasizing the importance of missions. And so let's go to what most would consider a very much a missions verse, Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. Notice this, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And let's pray tonight. Lord, we come this evening, Lord, with a heart, Lord, that has a need. And Lord, in this matter of the world, we know that the world has a need. They need the glorious gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? And Lord, I pray that you would stir our hearts in this matter of our responsibility here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church to have a global impact for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that you'd bless tonight's message. And as we talk about some things, discuss some things, as the pastor just takes a few minutes and shares his heart, Lord, in this matter of my burden for missions and my vision and to challenge our church to reach beyond, Lord, our Jerusalem and to begin to make impacts and inroads, Lord, and fully and completely obey your command here. We ask, Lord, that the Holy Spirit, Lord, would fill us and give us this power because, Lord, that must come before anything. And then we pray, Lord, for the wisdom to carry out, Lord, the Great Commission in all areas. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, and you may be seated. I'm going to, if I title tonight's message, I guess I would use one word. I'm going to preach on the word both, on the word B-O-T-H, both. Many of you probably in your Bibles have Acts 1-8 underlined. If you don't, you might want to underline at least one word in this verse, and that would be the word both, B-O-T-H. If you've already have this verse underlined, you might want to circle that word both, and I'll tell you why in just a minute. Folks, I think this is a fascinating thing. Many of you have been to missions conferences. We've had missionaries come in through the years. This church, praise the Lord, from its conception, has had a burden to support and to get behind a missionary effort. And I'm excited about that. I'm going to tell you something. That's something Blessed Hope Baptist ought to always be known for, is the fact that we are a missionary-minded church. I like the pastor, when we constructed this new addition back here, he had a burden from the offset to take that main major hallway that many of our young people walk through and most of our members walk through every single week, and to dedicate that as missionary hall. I told the Lawrences, I tell all the folks that come visit, we put our missionary in boxes here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We put all our missionaries in a box. But I like that. I like that presentation. I like the fact that every one of them is individualized. Everyone is unique. Everyone is important. And if you have some spare time around here, you know, maybe you bring your children in early for a choir practice or a youth thing, or you have a little time after a service where you're waiting on someone who's in a meeting. Let me tell you, time well spent is time walking up and down Missionary Hall, reading letters, putting your hand on the box and praying for those missionaries. They need our prayers, folks. We ought to know who they are. We ought to pray for them. We ought to be up to date on what their needs are and their concerns. We need to keep the missionaries before us. One of the reasons we started reading a missionary letter a week and having a missionary of the week is so that it's not ever very far from the forefront of what goes on here, foreign missions. I remember even as a young man and going on the trips to Tennessee and way back in the 70s and taking those winter retreat trips and getting to visit the Highland Park Baptist Church when Dr. Lee Robertson was there. And the one thing that I felt and noticed from the time you would walk in to the property and the premises of that church till you left, the one thing you knew is that that church was sold on the idea of worldwide missions. And I like that. I even as a young man, that made an impact, an impression on me. I think one of the reasons that God blessed that church here in the States and did an unusual thing through Dr. Robertson and the Highland Park Baptist Church is because of their love for foreign missions and what they were willing to sacrifice to get missionaries on the field. Now, having said all that, we've heard countless messages from Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And we could spend some tonight, and it would be time well spent talking about the first part of this verse. A lot of times we run right by that. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And by that precedes everything else in the verse. You know, you shall be witnesses. Well, you're not going to be effective if you don't receive power. And you're supposed to go to Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria. That's fine. But unless you've been filled with the Holy Spirit and you go in the power of the Holy Spirit of God, you know what? That was to precede all else in this verse. And I know I've been spending Sunday mornings in Sunday school for the last month or so challenging our adults in this matter of the fruits of the Spirit and the importance of being filled with the Spirit of God. Folks, let me tell you something. We cannot evangelize in the power of the flesh. We cannot evangelize. I don't care if it's in Israel or I don't care if it's on a bus route right here in a local area. You cannot effectively evangelize in your own power, in the power of the flesh. We must get to the point where we hunger for the power that's available through the Holy Spirit of God. He possesses us. He wants to fill us. He wants to control us. Why, Brother Jerry, do we preach so hard against sin here? Why do we insist and challenge our folks to take a separatist stand? I'll tell you why. You get your life full of sin and full of self and full of the flesh and full of the things of this world, and you can't also then be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. You can't. You can convince yourself that you can be a worldly Christian and an effective Christian, but you just can't do that. We have to empty ourselves of self, empty ourselves of sin, get thoroughly and totally empty before we can be filled with the Holy Spirit of God and be used in the way that God wants to use us. I wish I had, again, time to just preach on that, but we're going to move on. I could talk about the next part of this verse where it says, "And ye shall be witnesses unto me." By the way, that's a command. God expects every one of us to be engaged in this matter of witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ. That means at the workplace. That means at the store. That means at the gas station. That means in the community. That means get involved in a visitation program, actively going door to door, systematically covering this area for the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that. Blessed Hope Baptist Church was founded on that. We're not going to get off that. If this bothers you, you're just going to have to sit there and be bothered a lot, because we're not going to stop preaching it. We're not going to stop. Listen, we stop the soul winning. We stop. Lose the focus on evangelizing and then be involved in evangelism and spreading the gospel. And we no longer have a church. We just have a little social center here. We no longer have a church. We just have a little community get-together place. And that's what a lot of churches have turned into. We are here for the main reason of winning the lost to Jesus Christ. We are to be witnesses of what Jesus Christ came and provided. The gospel of Jesus Christ. He came and died for our sins according to the gospel, was buried, and rose again. If we're not getting that message out, everything else we're doing, folks, isn't worth a plug nickel. We've got to be steady and steadfast in this matter of getting the gospel out. And now, I want to talk to you about that word both. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. Then all of a sudden we say the word both. And then after the word both is the typical outline that most missionaries or most missions messages would follow. Let me go ahead and cover that outline, and I'll come back to the main word that we're going to focus on tonight. We are to be witnesses in Jerusalem. We are to be witnesses in all Judea. We're to be witnesses in Samaria, and we're to be witnesses into the uttermost part of the earth. And by the way, notice Jesus said, and ye shall be witnesses. Now, he's sitting there looking at a group of Christians. He's getting ready to ascend to heaven. He said, ye shall be witnesses. And he said, I want you to be witnesses in Jerusalem. And by the way, and I think that this is good. But I will say this, Brother Lawrence. I looked at this verse a little different after I listened to your message this morning on the importance of Jewish evangelism. Why Jewish evangelism? That was excellent. Well, folks, he went through the Bible and just, I think we can't wiggle out from underneath it. I mean, he just went through the Bible and showed us this is the Bible present to the Jew first and also to the Greek. This is the example of the apostolic New Testament church and the apostles that were involved in that. And you know what? Then Blessed Old Baptist Church ought to be the same way. Amen. If we're going to pattern our church out of the book of Acts, then we can't ignore our responsibility to be involved in Jewish missions. He did a great job of that. But I thought about that. It says, you know, we always say Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. And I thought, and we do apply this, and it's not wrong to do this. We can say, you know what, Jasonville is our Jerusalem. But you know, isn't it interesting that Jesus said evangelism should start in Jerusalem? He named the specific town. He didn't say in your hometown and your state, your country, and the uttermost parts of the world. He says, start in Jerusalem. Well, amen. I think that might be something else you want to add to that message, brother. Isn't that good? Jesus said, start in Jerusalem. But in a sense, what he's telling us, folks, is that we want, and I don't think this is wrong to do this, he's basically putting an outline here. Now, you young people, listen to this, because this is important. You know, we have a responsibility. He said, ye shall be witnesses. Now, where are we supposed to be witnesses to? Number one, right here at home, in your hometown, you're supposed to be a witness. In this home area, we're supposed to be a witness for Jesus Christ. And we can't forget that, folks. As much as we get excited about expanding, and I'm going to challenge us to do that, I want to get us a broader vision of what our responsibilities are. But I want to tell you this. Our regular weekly ministries that minister physically hands-on to the people in this community are vitally, vitally, vitally important. The bus ministry is important. The nursing home ministries are important. The door-to-door visitation programs are important. Our hands-on reaching of our Jerusalem is vitally, vitally important. And we can't say, well, we're going to get so involved in doing reaching people a long way away that we forget to reach the person across the street. Amen? And so, but we want to start at home, first in Jerusalem, or in Jerusalem, in our city. Then Judea, if you looked at a little map of Israel, Jerusalem was located in Judea. It's a region, that region of the country. And I think we also ought to then, now watch this, Blessed Hope, because I'm going to go back to a word that's important in a minute here. I've kind of jumped over it on purpose. But Jesus said, I want you to be a witness in Jerusalem. I want you to get to your hometown. I want you to get your area, the region of the country in which your hometown is located. You know what? We ought to get a burden at Blessed Hope Baptist Church for Southern Indiana. We ought to get a burden at Blessed Hope Baptist Church for Southern and Eastern Illinois. We ought to get a burden for Blessed Hope Baptist Church about the state of Indiana. Listen, I don't want to just reach this community. I've talked a lot about this of late. I really believe that Southern Indiana, in a lot of ways, has been a graveyard for independent fundamental Baptist churches, especially in some of the southern counties. We're not reaching this state in certain areas. There's large cities that have no gospel witness or very little gospel witness right here in our own backyard. Now, I don't know about you, but that bothers me. That burdens me. I'm concerned about that, and I want to do something about it. You see, so he said, now listen, do something in your city, but also look at your region. Look at your area beyond maybe what you can physically reach or where you can physically run a bus or where you can physically, but don't forget that area. Then he says Samaria. And by the way, if you looked on a map, Samaria is north of Judea, and it's the other part or another part of the same country. And I think we also got to be burdened about it. And by the way, I think Jesus did that on purpose. Remember the brother that came in here and preached the other day and gave us a little view about the Samaritans? You know, Jesus very specifically mentioned to these Jewish people, you go get to go to Samaria. Now listen, this was an area of the country that they weren't real fond of. This was a people they weren't real fond of. Are you listening to me? You know, there's even some parts and regions of our own country. You say, oh, Brother Jerry, you don't understand it. I'm a country boy. Well, so am I. I'm a country boy through and through. I know, but you know what? There's thousands, yea, millions of people in the inner city that need to be reached for the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, I'm just a white redneck. I know, and there's a bunch of black folks out there that need reach for the Lord Jesus Christ. A bunch of Mexicans that needs to be reached for the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's communities like the Jewish communities that we're not reaching for the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, there is the same bias that the Jews had for the Samaritans right here in this area right here, where sometimes because we're white and we're middle class, we think we're a little better than other groups of people. But Jesus said, go to whatever the Samaria is in your mind, that group of people that maybe you don't even like or you have a bias against, go witness to them. Go witness to them. Amen. That is good stuff. Our Samaria, the other regions of our country, especially those areas that may be unfamiliar or where we might have to leave our comfort zone to go to, or even those groups of people that we may have a natural bias against, they still need the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then he says the uttermost part of the earth, which is outside the boundaries of our country. Basically what he was saying is anything outside the borders of this country, go out there and be a witness to those areas. Now, folks, I said that. Now, this is what I think a lot of times people assume happened. Jesus was addressing these 120 Jewish Christians as he was getting ready to ascend up into heaven. And he says, listen, I want you to go into, he already gave him instruction, go to Jerusalem and tarry and until you be endued from power with power from on high. And then he said, listen, I want you to be witnesses in Jerusalem. And I think some of them said, okay, some of us will go to Jerusalem. And then I want you to be witnesses in Judea. All Judea, okay, then will some of us will go there. And in the Samaria, some of us will go there. The uttermost parts of the earth, some of us will go there. But wait a minute. We forgot a word. Because he didn't say, now some of you go and just reach Jerusalem. And some of you go and just reach Judea. And some of you go and just reach Samaria. And some of you go and just to the uttermost parts of the earth. He said this to the church. He said this to that group of disciples. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now this is what I've come, and I know this is what the Holy Spirit of God has told me as the pastor of this church to come tell you tonight. Blessed Hope Baptist Church needs to be a both church. A both church. If we're going to fulfill this command, then we need to do it both in Jerusalem and both in Judea and both in Samaria and both to the uttermost parts. No, Brother Jerry, what you mean is that we're supposed to reach our Jerusalem and then we're going to give money to somebody else that's going to go do that, or we're going to pray for somebody else that's going to do that. I think that that's part of it, and I think we're certainly involved in that. But I think that he says, ye shall be witnesses. Both. Ye shall be witnesses. Both. Ye shall be witnesses. Not you're going to pay somebody to go for it. Ye shall be witnesses. Now, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And we're certainly involved in that. But I think sometimes it's easy to take a missions offering or a vote to take 16, 17% out of the general, what comes in on a general account. And let's just do that. And boy, now there we go. Hey, we've done our part. He said, ye shall be, that means Jerry Ross is supposed to be a witness in Jerusalem. But I'm also supposed to be a witness in all Judea. And I'm also supposed to be a witness in Samaria. And I'm also supposed to be a witness to the uttermost parts of the earth. Now you say, well, Brother Joe, that's impossible. I mean, we can't all go taking off, running all over the country and doing everything. But I want to tell you something, folks. Here's what I think happens. Let me just share my heart with you. And if you don't agree with this, just don't agree with it. If you want to crucify me, just crucify me. But we're very selfish and we're very self-centered. A lot of times we're just worried about Blessed Hope Baptist Church. That's all we're worried about. And how many we have and how big we're getting and how many and the boundaries, the little 12-mile circle that we put up on the back bulletin board and are we reaching that? And boy, aren't we doing good. Well, let me tell you something. I think we need to get a vision. I believe this is the premise of tonight's message. I believe that Blessed Hope Baptist Church can have a global impact for the Lord Jesus Christ. I did not say that I believe that Blessed Hope Baptist Church can single-handedly reach the world. I think it takes all churches to reach the world. But I think that we can have a global impact for the Lord Jesus Christ. I think we're supposed to have a global impact for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think we need to get our vision from here and lift up our eyes like Jesus said and start imagining things and dreaming of things and desiring to do things that we've never thought of, we've never done before. As the Lord leads and the Lord's provide, let's impact past our Jerusalem. Now again, I'm not shutting the buses down. And I don't think anybody will back off of anything we're already doing. Matter of fact, we want to expand in the areas of reaching our Jerusalem. We don't ever want, this is it, this is home turf. Man, if we reach the rest of the world and let our Jerusalem go to hell, I don't think Jesus is going to be real pleased with that. We need to be witnesses right here where we're at. But I think we also, this is what the month of February is all about. It's lifting our eyes up and getting a wider vision and a bigger vision. And hey God, what else can we do to reach a world for the Lord Jesus Christ? Hey, Brother Jerry, how could we at Blessed Hope Baptist Church carry out this command when both is put on this word both, it increases our responsibility? I mean, how in the world can we as a congregation in a little rural community in a corner of Greene County, I mean, this is just a bunch of average folks and blue collar workers, and you shake a hand, it's a calloused hand, and we're working a 40, 50, 60 hours a week trying to put food on the table and just trying to keep this church going. What in the world are you talking about? How in the world could you expect, or how in the world could we have a global impact for the Lord Jesus Christ? Let me chat with you with some things. By the way, some of these things we're doing, some of these things we're not doing, some of these things you're going to think I'm crazy for even dreaming about them, but I'm just going to tell you a little bit about my heart tonight. I want to open some things up. I want to shake us out of our comfort zone. I want to say, why not, instead of, well, we can't. I want to say, what if? What if we dared? And I'm not talking to folks a lot of times about dumping a bunch of money. I just think sometimes we just need to think, how can I impact the world? Let me share a testimony with you. About 15 years ago, I was at a conference. And at that time, 15 years ago, I was pastoring a struggling little startup church. And I was struggling just to make ends meet with my family. I was struggling just to get a foothold in a community and start a church. And I went to a conference, and God spoke to my heart in this matter. And I'm going to tell you something. The last thing from my mind was the idea of reaching anything outside of where I was. But I'll never forget that what God did to my heart. And I went to an altar that night, and I said to myself, Lord, I'm a nobody. You know me. And Lord, you know my limitations, and you know my weaknesses. But Lord, you know what? I don't want to live, breathe, and die without having made an impact for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, if you'll take this little nothing, this little lump of clay, and if you'll give me some wisdom and some direction, Lord, I'll put my efforts into not just making an impact where I am, but try to make an impact across this state and across this country, and Lord, across this world. And I can't do it all, but if I could do anything, if I can do something, just let me do something for you, Lord. Just let me do something for you. I want that to burn in your heart tonight. I want you to burn, listen, I want you to that to burn in your heart tonight. Why can't God use you to shake this community? Why can't God use you to make an impact outside the boundaries of where our church? Why can't God use you to help save this country? Why can't God use you to help make an impact on a world for the Lord Jesus? Why can't he? Why not? Oh, Brother Jerry, you know who you're talking to here. No, why not? Why not? Why not? I here's the premise of tonight's message. Let's just do both. Let's do both. I'm not talking about quitting anything. I'm talking about let's do both. Let's do both. Now, how are we going to do that? All right. Number one, I believe, and I appreciate this. I mean this, Brother Lawrence, with all my heart. I appreciate the emphasis this morning you placed on the importance of the local church. Number one, I think that we need to be involved in church planting. I think we need to be involved in church planting. I think we need more churches in America, and I think we need more churches in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. I think one of the ways that we can have an impact, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, is to what I call church planting and church encouraging. Church planting and church encouraging. You know what? Jesus did not just die for Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Jesus died for the church, churches, local churches all across the country, and we ought to be concerned that we have churches that are being started and those that are already in existence that we can encourage or help or be a blessing to. Let me just give you a for instance. I love this. I love it. about several years ago, and we're doing it again. Brother Reiser just ordered a bunch of tracts. We're getting ready to do it again. But several years ago, I went to Dad, and we had gone, taken the young people. We'd gone to every little burg in our area, and we had gone to them several times. And I got a burden, and I said to Dad one day, and God wouldn't leave me alone about it. I said, Dad, why don't we go? Could we go and could we take money from our church and we order several thousand tracts? And instead of having Blessed Hope Baptist Church printed on them, Jim Swaby's over there in Bloomfield and he's trying to get a church started. And can we just call Brother Jim and see if he'd let us and we could order a couple thousand tracts with his name and his address and his church's name on it and put on it what he wants? Then we'll take our young people over there on Wednesday and we'll canvass his area. He's a small church. You don't have many people. You don't have but a couple teenagers. And we could go over there and in 2 or 3 weeks hit more doors than they would be able to hit in 2 years. Could we do that? And Dad said, do it. And we ordered tracts and we went over there and canvassed that area for Jim Swaby. And then I got to thinking about Brother Simpson when he left our church and went over here to start pastoring Carlisle. And we did the same thing. We're getting ready to do the same thing again. Brother Reiser came to me just the other day and said, hey, it's been a little while since we've been over to help Brother Simpson. Yeah, Brother Jerry, you're kidding me. We're taking Blessed Hope Baptist Church money and we are buying tracts for another church. And having their name printed on it, and their phone number, and their address. I mean, what if somebody that lives halfway in between ends up there instead of here? Well, that'd be the end of the world. That'd be horrible. My goodness sake. I mean, they would be choosing second best, I got to admit. But, hey, are you getting this? Are you getting this? By the way, I on purpose kept track of this. And I told Dad at the end of this, we spent the first time we went over and canvassed for Brother Simpson. We went and took all of our young people and all those hours and all that effort, and we passed out tracts all over Sullivan, all over Carlisle. We completely canvassed that whole area and passed out tracts. And here's the funny part. Is it Temple Baptist Church? All right, so we're going, hello, my name's Jerry Ross. I'm from Blessed Temple Baptist Church, you know. Like, you're from where? Kind of renamed it. I couldn't, you know, you say the same thing over and over. It's hard to stop, you know. And Temple Baptist Church, what we would say is, we're visiting for. We didn't lie. We were saying we're visiting for Temple Baptist Church. And let me tell you about a great church, wonderful thing going on down here. And we promote it. By the way, we were over there, I think, for 4 weeks. I, on purpose, because I sat up here on the platform, I walked up and greeted the visitors. That was my job in those days. You remember that. We had more visitors at Blessed Hope Baptist Church in that four-week period when we weren't visiting for Blessed Hope Baptist Church than we had had the previous 4 weeks when we were visiting for Blessed Hope Baptist Church. You know, I think maybe God's just blesses stuff like that. And I'm not saying we're going to stop visiting for Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I'm just saying, you know what, there's other churches. Hey, we've got a responsibility. At one time, we were a little church meeting in a living room with a handful of people and trying to get started. At one time, we were just, I mean, anybody would have come to help, that would have been a blessing. Listen, I've been in the storefront church. I know how lonely it is. I know how hard it is. I know how hard it is to get something jump started. And to think that you got a congregation of this size that would look around and say, all right, praise God, this is our Jerusalem church. This will always be our Jerusalem church. But there's some Judea churches out in this area. And you know what? Man, we could go over there with a group of people, and in one day we could visit more than it would take them a year to knock. And that's the honest truth. I'm not exaggerating when I say that. We could take a group of 40, 50 people, and in one day be able to make more visits than that pastor and his wife can do by themselves trying to get a church started that would take them a year to do. And so why not? What I'm saying is, let's not get fixated here. Jesus said, I want you to do both. I want you to do both. And so there's our Judea, folks, and there's our opportunity. And how do we reach beyond there and go to Judea and Samaria? Brother Castle came back, and he would take in a little trip with his family, and he discovered, I'm always talking about this area, Jasper, Lagodi, French Lick, over by Vincennes in Washington, a strong Catholic area, very few gospel preaching churches, hardly any independent fundamental Baptist church. He told me about a guy that's got a little church down there in French Lick, and it's a little church, and they're just voting in a new young pastor, and they're going to try to make a go of that thing. And as soon as he mentioned it to me, the wheels are already turning. Brother, when that pastor gets in and established, we'll get a couple buses and we'll drive down there. And you're going to, Brother Jerry, don't you have people you can reach right here? Couldn't we visit people for our church? Well, we could if we were just a Jerusalem church. We just had a Jerusalem vision. I mean, we could. We could just say, you know, hey, let's all put all our efforts here and with everybody else, you know. But I just don't think that's what Jesus was talking about here. And I think every once in a while it's good for Blessed Hope Baptist Church to go help some. Listen, most of them would dream about having a congregation this size. And that's, I mean, they may be years away from being able to do what we could do. And so we could go and be a blessing and help to them. And I think that's good. That's called church planting and church encouraging. By the way, church encouraging is the pastor of this church getting on the phone with pastors of other churches in this area and getting on the phone on a regular basis. Say, listen, brother, I'm going to tell you something. I love you. And I'm glad you're there. And I'm going to tell you something. We're for you at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. You know, let's stop this nitpicking. Okay, you say, Brother Jerry, you know, I'm going to tell you, I'm biased. I'll just tell you, I think this is the best church in the whole area, all right? But I don't think it's the only church in the whole area. And let me say this. If there's somebody, a pastor, sincere pastor that's in a church, and he's trying to take that church in the right direction, he has a friend in the pastor's office at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. He has somebody that will call him and pray with him and encourage him and encourage his wife and try to be a blessing to that man. I'm just going to do it. Now, we may not dot all our I's the same, cross all our T's the same, but listen, these guys aren't our enemies, and I'm going to be a friend to them. I'm going to be a church planter. You know why? Because it's not just about my Jerusalem. It's about what's going on all around us and try to be a blessing and a help, okay? And so, number one, church planting dash encouraging. I think we need to do that. Let me move on quickly. I think also, how do you impact, Brother Jerry, outside the boundaries? How can we be a both church? I think good gospel literature is very, very important. Now, you know that your preacher believes in writing. I take time to write. Why do you take time to write? Because I'm trying to reach Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Lost spot. I just throw these things out. And I don't say much about this because every time I do, everybody gets quiet and gets sour-faced and they act like, you know, it's a... But let me just... No, not everybody. Just a handful of you. And I gotta remember who to look at and who not to when I'm telling this stuff. Hey, I wrote that little booklet, Stay in the Castle. And then we got it translated into Spanish. And the law spotter, the Spanish sword of the Lord, called me up and said, man, we got this story. This is incredible. Can we put it in our paper? The guy that put that story in his paper, and he said, this will go en masse to every Spanish-speaking country in the world. And I'm sitting there remembering when I came to an altar and said, God, listen, I'm nothing. I'm a nobody, but I'll do everything that you direct me to do. And God, would you let me make an impact somewhere out there beyond? You know, we get calls every week, every single, probably almost every day of the week we get calls, some from all parts of the United States wanting to order the different booklets and books we've written. And the Stay in the Castle book and the Teenage Years of Jesus Christ. And it's being used in textbooks in Christian schools, not only here, but on the mission field. Are you listening to me? I'm not bragging on anybody but Jesus. I'm just saying I got a burden at one time in my life to try to do something outside the boundaries of what of our little town. I want to do everything I can here, but I also think that we ought to do both. I believe in literature. I believe it. We're going to have Brother Jeremy Rands come in 2 weeks from Bearing Precious Seed. Most of you know, if you're familiar at all with Bearing Precious Seed, they have a burden for printing the Bible, printing good gospel material, and they're going to challenge us in this area. I'm going to tell you something. I'm already excited about it. You say, well, how can I? Well, Jerry, that's one thing. You're a preacher and you know how to write and all this stuff. And well, what about me? I'll tell you what about you. You know what? Bearing Precious Seed's begging for seed churches to just, listen, we could get together and we could do this once a month. And we could put together Bibles that they've printed and needs collated and stapled together in Yugoslavian. And then we can put those things together and we can box them and we can ship them and you have done something that's touching the uttermost parts of the... you know, if you decide you want to, you can do it. I mean, it all depends on how much of a vision you have. It all depends on how much of this verse... You know, if you want to read this verse, instead of underlining that word both, if you want to scratch it out, you can do it. But I'm not going to do it. I remember what it says back at the end of Revelation, you know, I don't want my name taken out of the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm not going to mess with it. I'm just going to try to obey it the way it is, you see. Gospel tracts. Listen, you can reach the world through gospel tracts. No, reach the world. Listen, you oughtn't have sent a letter or a bill or anything out of your house without a gospel tract in it. You ought to, every time you take a trip, every time you go a direction, you can take gospel literature and you can touch not just Jerusalem, but Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. Shame on you if you take off on vacation and you don't have a fistful of gospel tracts with you. You got an opportunity. Instead of looking at it as a vacation spot, look at it as a mission field. I mean, I will tell you right now, there's no doubt in my mind that there's gospel material scattered from Blessed Hope Baptist Church all over this country because of Greg Abel. I guarantee you. I guarantee you. You know, they moved to our church. He's had to move several times because the law's looking for him. That's it, you know. I seen him on America's Most Wanted the other night, and he's moving around. That's why he stays in that truck. He keeps mobile, you know. Yeah, you never know when they're going to find out where he's at, and he might have to move again. But you know what? Listen, there's other people in the church that I can tell this about. But this man, he does not look at that truck driving as an occupation. He looks at it as a ministry. He really does. He's driving me crazy. Bless his heart. He runs into these truck drivers all the time that are former. A lot of truck drivers used to be veterans, especially Vietnam veterans, because they've come back. They're reclusive. They don't work well with people. They like a job where they're just out there by themselves. And I could stalk this guy up continually, and he'd pass them out. And what am I saying? I'm saying let's all do it. You got to decide how big of an influence you're going to have. You see, I will tell you right now what I'm thinking of. We get this building built out here. I know. I keep spending all your money. I'm sorry. We get this building built out here. You say, we'll have a new cafeteria. Well, what are we going to do with this old cafeteria? Well, Pastor Ross and the deacons already have put a heating system in there where we can subdivide that. Hey, you know what I'd like to do? I'd like to take a good portion of that. Why don't we have a printing press out there? Why don't we have our own printing ministry? I mean, forget Bearing Precious Seed. We'll come up with our own name. Amen. And why not? Why? Let me ask you something. If we did that, would you come over here and volunteer, put 3 or 4 hours in? Some young man say, hey, I'd do that. I'd run a press. Would you come over here and collate stuff? Well, I mean, we just want a Jerusalem church. Or do we want to impact the world for Jesus Christ? You know what we buy tracks for? We could print. For what we buy 1,000 tracks for, we could print probably 10,000 tracks if we had the equipment to do it. Maybe even more than that. Why not make an impact for the Lord Jesus Christ? Bearing Precious Seed has shown that it can be done. This little church ministry that we have, we buy these four-color tracks. I'm trying to think of which one. The one that says, does anybody in this world care and all of that. That church, that is a church ministry located in Lawrence, Kansas. Lawrence, Kansas, is that right? And you know what they did? They got a burden. You know what? We send them $20. $20 bill, and they send us 1,000 imprinted tracts. You know why? Because they're not trying to make money. They're trying to get the gospel out. You imagine that? I mean, those tracts are saturated. You know why? Because one church said, hey, we could buy a printing press. Why can't we make an impact on the world? That church, the tracts that church preaches is reaching the world and reaching across the world. It honestly is. And I think literature isn't just enough. I'm just throwing things out, folks. I don't know. I'm not going to pay for all this. I can't. I'm just throwing things out. How do you reach the world? How do you make a global impact? Let me just say this. It's not a bad word. Technology. Technology. It's not a bad word. Hey, Brother Jerry, I can't believe you started a website. Man, don't you know there's bad things on the web? Well, why would we have a radio ministry? There's bad things on the radio, too. Good night. You know what? Everything that the devil wants to use for bad, if we want to, we can turn around and use for good. Technology. Listen, I got an email this morning, Brother Klein. You forwarded that where it comes to my thing. Got an email from Brian Delaney's mother down in North Carolina, right? I tried to put her in Florida this morning. North Carolina. She said, Brother Jerry, Brother Brian told me about you. I think I got it with me because I was going to give it to him. Maybe I don't. Ah, there it is. See, I'll just read it to you. I loved your website, and then I cut off part of it, so I'll guess what the words at the end of the sentence mean. I loved your website. I love visiting your church when my son and Don were baptized. This site is wonderful to come to. I thought the children's choir was so touching. Did you hear that children's choir? Now, you can sing up here and bless us, but guess what? You're not just blessing Jerusalem. You're blessing Judea and Samaria and the other. Did you hear that children's choir? Did you say, why did that happen? Because we took what we had already had, and we said, what else can we do with it? How can we not just bless us? How can we bless others? Did you get that? You turn on FBN, you know what you're going to hear from time to time? Our adult choir, our teen choir. You know why? Because somebody made a tape, and instead of just passing a few copies out to us, someone said, well, why don't we send it to FBN? And guess what? The entire nation's hearing our choir sing it. We know about it. They call and complain all the time about it. And I'm just kidding. I'm kidding about that. And they're blessed by it. Remember the brother that we read the letter from Canada? That heard it and called FBN in North Carolina and said, who sung this? And called me up and said, Brother, give me one of your CDs. Your choir is a blessing to me. Did you get that? Why not impact? See, that's just it. A lot of times it's not doing something new. It's taking what we are doing and expanding it or taking it. And I mean, what's that really cost us, you see? And so she continues there and said, this site is wonderful to come to. I thought the children's choir was so touching. That is the reason something The little ones, that is what really is important to me, the little ones loving the Lord. How beautiful can it get? You have an awesome website, and I look forward to visiting it every week now, so as I also get a chance to listen to Pastor Jerry. Now, do you understand that? I'm preaching Sunday morning. Now, I can preach here on Sunday morning and touch who's here. Or we can just, Brother Klein could take a few minutes, bless his heart, he knows how to do it, stick it on the website, and Rebecca Gordon can listen to it, and Josh Davis listens to it. He wrote us and sent an email to us telling what, oh, Brother Jerry, it's like being home. Thank you so much. I can get on here and listen anytime I want to. And who else just told me? Somebody else just told me, one of our kids that are living somewhere else. And I mentioned to you, Daniel over in Baghdad, I think if he's got a web, has he talked about that? Can he get on the website? Find out. I want to know. I want to be able to share this stuff, you know, in Baghdad. He can get on there and listen to last Sunday morning's message. Now, what are you going to do, Brother Jerry? I'm going to prepare to preach to our Jerusalem. But wouldn't it be neat if we just went ahead and reached Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the world with it? You see what I'm saying? That's all it is the difference between having the kind of vision that we ought to have. What else can we do with it? And then she says this. I'm going to read it. It's a little embarrassing. But all I hear from Brian is how wonderful Pastor Jerry is. And, you know, I need to hire you as a PR man. I really do, you know, man. I get so many bad press and bad comments. If I could just hire you to go around telling people how wonderful I am, I'd appreciate it, you know. Watch this. Thank you for this blessing, and I pray that the Lord gives you the something. Keep this wonderful link to the Lord growing and growing. It is a joy. God bless you all. Then she says, North Carolina, stay warm in Indiana. Hope to see you real soon. That was, so anyway. Here, bro, I'm going to give this to you. I'm going to tell you something. Did you see that? Say, well, it's just one person. Well, it's one person we're touching. And how many people aren't going to email that still heard? What are you doing? I'm trying to say, let's just use what's out there. Let's use it the right way. Let's use it to the glory of God. And let's try to make a global impact for the Lord Jesus Christ. I've got to hurry. The Super Bowl's almost over. All right, number five. You don't want to watch the game. You want to watch the commercials. That's all you're interested in. Amen. Number five. Why? Why did I say it was wrong? Are those commercials bad? Well, you guys, how do you know? I was thinking of the frogs is what I was thinking of, you know. I don't. By the way, when Brother Jonathan and Sister Alyssa was expecting a boy, we were trying to get him to name him Bud so everybody could call him Budweiser. You know, some things shouldn't go out to the whole ends of the earth, you know. Make sure that part's deleted out of there, Brother Klein. So. He does doctor some of my sermons up before he... Some things the world should be protected from, but... All right, I got to hurry. Let me finish this last two things. I got to get myself out of trouble here. Number five, how else, Brother Jerry, do I reach the world? By the way, we've always done this, we'll continue to do this, and it's the right thing to do. Finances. I mean, the honest truth is, folks, maybe we can't go everywhere, but we can pay somebody or help somebody go somewhere. I may not be able to go down and preach here and also preach in Jasper or French Lick, but maybe we can from time to time help the guy that's trying to get something started there. Hey, what's wrong with that? Brother Simpson over here, by the way, we don't have a box with his picture and stuff in it, but we send Brother Simpson, it's on the, we don't try to hide it, it's in the mission report. We send Brother Simpson a monthly check until he can get, that church can fully get on their feet and fully support him. Why not? Hey, I said, why not? Well, don't you know we could do a Blessed Hope? Well, that's the problem. We got a Jerusalem mentality. You know, I'm as concerned, I want that church to succeed as much as I want this church to succeed. I really do. I hope that brother in French Lick builds a work. I hope one of these days, 20, 30 years from now, he has a church this size and he's helping a bunch of struggling guys around him. Why don't we just do those things, you see? And finances, and of course, our missions offering. Folks, at the end of this month, I'm going to ask you for a commitment. I'm going to ask you for a commitment. I'm going to ask you for a write down on a piece of paper. This is what I'll do for worldwide missions. This is the increase I'm going to give that I haven't given up to this point. And you know what? I don't care if it's a dollar a week. I really don't. I want it to be whatever God tells you to give. But I think we ought to think about that. Why not? Why not have a few more boxes back there? Why not help a few more people get on the mission field? Why not help some of the... I don't believe in home and foreign missions. I just think missions. I think everything's missions. I don't like home missions, foreign missions. I just think everything's missions. I don't care if we're supporting a guy in North Dakota or North Korea. I mean, as long as they're reaching people for Jesus Christ, let's get it done, okay? And so finances, you see. Regional church planting. Let's help some of these guys get some churches started. American missions, worldwide missions, whatever you want to call it, missions everywhere. Let's just help them out. And as much as we can do that at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, we ought to do that at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And I know we've got to make sure we keep things right here. I was talking to Brother Charles this week. I said, we voted to take 5% out of our general offering and put it towards the building fund. And I have been in to talk to him. Just in the other day, talked to him. How's that going? Are we still in good stead? Listen, we've got to keep the home base well. We really do. And I promise you, I'll commit myself to that. We can't do missions if this thing goes to part. We won't be doing anything. But at the same time, what more can we do? You see, what more can we do? Finances. And then let me give you the last one. We'll wrap it up. And this is just some things to throw out there. I'm not even saying we're going to do anything. I'm just saying let's all start thinking. I'll tell you this. This Operation Think Event, I come up with a little teeny idea and said, because God wouldn't leave me alone about it. And here's what the idea was. I heard Ron Allen give his testimony one day. I absolutely could not. Tried for 6 months just thinking I got too much to do. God would not leave me alone about going to talk to pastor and say, we got to get Ron Allen's testimony in booklet form. And then I knew God was telling me to do that. So you know what we did? We did it. And then I got that booklet and we got the first copies of it. And I'm sitting there, I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, every time I see it, I think, God, what else can we do with that? I mean, it's already done. What else can we do? God, what else can we do with that? What else can we do with that? And then this Operation Think Event idea came up. And then about several months ago, 4 or 5 months ago, I was looking at that booklet. And I really, every time, and I'll do this, not with this, but I'll do it with everything around here. God, is this all that we're supposed to do with this? What else can we do? How can we affect the world? Can we affect Judea with this? Can we affect Samaria with this? What else can we do here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church? Lord, could this reach over to a corner of the world somewhere? What can we do with this? And he told me, God spoke to my heart. I mean, I hadn't thought of this program in a long, long time. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit brought to my mind that Unshackled program up there at Pacific Garden Mission. And we got copies of that now. We're bootlegging copies of that. It hasn't even aired yet. I told Brother Allen, he sent me a copy of it. And I said, I'm going to put this on our website before Pacific Garden Mission even airs it, I said, no, I won't do that. I won't do that. And by the way, February 12th, they're going to start airing that. All across the country, they'll air that. Now, I sent that booklet up there. I called Pacific Garden Mission. Flossie, that's who I talked to, Flossie. If you don't believe me, call Pacific Garden Mission and ask for Flossie. She is an angel. She really is. And I said to her, I don't know who she is. I said, let me tell you what I've got. I've got this booklet. Me and a Vietnam veteran sat down and wrote together. I said, I don't know why, but God won't let me leave it alone. I said, I'll just send it to you. And if I don't hear anything from you, don't worry about it. If it's something you can't do, don't worry about it. But all I know is we're supposed to do it. And so I sent the booklet up there. I didn't hear and didn't hear and didn't hear and thought, well, they're not going to do anything about it. And all of a sudden, I got a call from Ron one day, and he said, I got this letter. Do you know anything about something called Unshackled? I said, yeah, Ron, I've been meaning to talk to you about that. What do they want? They've asked me all these questions. I said, let me tell you what it is. He'd never even heard it, didn't even know what it is. Is this all right, Brother Jerry? Yeah, it's all right. Answer their questions, send it back, And by the way, they sent him that CD. I was coming back from visiting Hannah. We stopped in to see Ron and Glenda, dropped some books off for him. He handed me the CD. He said, I want you to have this. He said, I want you to listen to it. We got in the car and listened to it. Man, I'm shouting and bawling, and it was incredible. And I know you're dying to hear it, but I'm the only one here that's heard it. So, ha, ha, ha. No, me and my wife, and Tabitha, we've heard it. And we're making bootleg copies, and we'll start smuggling around to everybody. But now watch this. When I got back here, I felt obligated to do this. I picked the phone up and called that lady back and said, I need to speak to Flossie. And I said, told her who I was. I said, you remember me calling you? She said, yes. And I said, let me tell you something. You guys nailed this thing. This is absolutely incredible. And she said, Brother Jerry, she said, we get stories all different kinds of ways. She said, when we book at the beginning of the year, a weekly production. Most years we have nothing. We have empty, yet we're supposed to produce something every. So God always sends us a story from somewhere, and God used you and Brother Ron to give us one more story to put on here. We talked about ways that we could use it through Operation Think of It. I don't have time to tell you our thing. All I, you start a little thing, and then God just grows it and grows it and grows it and grows it, and pretty soon, and she told me this. Now watch this. Listen. She said, Brother Jerry, she said, I want you to know that starting February 12th, millions and millions of people will listen to that unshackled story. And I'm thinking back in the early 90s, yes, when I walked up to an altar and said, God, listen to me. I'm not going to be satisfied with just trying to make a little bit of an impact here and there. I want to do something, God, that's going to reach to from my Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria. I want to do something that's going to reach the uttermost parts. She started telling me about all the different languages that it would be translated in, all the different. I'm going to tell you something, brother. I got goosebumps. Well, I'm going to tell you what we can do. Listen, I'm telling you, Blessed Hope Baptist Church can have a global impact for the Lord Jesus Christ. Can have a global impact. What's the last way we can do it? Watch this. I'm done. Young people, you. You. You see, you may be our most important asset to reaching the world and reaching outside the boundaries of here. We're going to need some Jerusalem young people. We need some young people to just graduate and do right. Keep their nose clean, keep a good testimony, settle in here. Say, Brother Jerry, this is where God put me, and I'm supposed to be here, and roll your sleeves up and just help us reach Jerusalem. That's good. But you know what? No matter what you do, it still ought to reach outside of Jerusalem. But I think we're gonna have to have some Judea young people. We're gonna have some young people willing to say, hey, there's parts of Indiana and Ohio and Illinois that still need to reach. Maybe God will want me to go be a preacher or preacher's wife. And this morning when we're preaching tonight, when I'm preaching right now. And I guarantee you, he's still preaching. I don't care if he is on a different time zone. Paul Chapman's preaching in Rhode Island. And Brother Bo, you know, you said, I'll take this Jerusalem ministry. And you know what God turned it into? A Judea and Samaria and uttermost parts of the world ministry. That's pretty exciting, isn't it? Say, God, I'll just do this little bus route here. I'll just run this little bus route here in this little town, this little church. And God said, you know what? I'll show you what that little bus route can do. I'll send a preacher out of that little bus route. I'll send people off to Bible college out of that little bus route. I may send people to the uttermost parts of the world out of that little bus route. Well, amen. Amen. That's all right. You see? And we've got Rebecca and Derek working over in Montana. Lord knows Montana needs something. Amen. And some of our young people. And we've got them scattered around. We've got Luke and Hannah, the uttermost parts of the world. I don't think God's done doing that. I just don't. Oh, Brother Jerry, I've already made up my mind. I'm not leaving here. I'm staying here. Let me tell you something about God. He decides you're supposed to go somewhere. He'll make you so miserable that the only way you'll ever be happy is to go do what he told you to do. And you know what? That's where you'll find real happiness. Now, I've preached too long. But what I've tried to do, folks, is just say, listen, there is something out there. And Brother Jerry, what is it? I guarantee you, I haven't named probably 1/100th of what ought to happen. I can't even think of it. I don't even know yet. I just believe this. God will work in our hearts. And if everyone here and everything that you're doing says, Lord, how can I have a global impact? Or, Lord, this right now that I'm doing is reaching Jerusalem. How could it affect Judea? Or if it's reaching Judea, how can it affect Samaria? Or, Lord, would you even take some of the stuff that we do and just let it reach all the way across to the other side of the planet and touch some life for the Lord Jesus Christ? Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this month of missions emphasis. And Lord, I just want to, again, Lord, ask you to use this church and use this preacher and use these people. And Lord, I pray that we'd get excited and get a vision. What could happen? What could happen? If we just all, and whatever God's got us doing, and wherever little area we're in, or what talents we have, say, Lord, how can this be used, or how could I use this to impact, a better impact our Jerusalem, to impact past our Jerusalem? Lord, we want to do both. We want to do both, Lord. And God, we don't want to run ahead of you, and we don't want to drag behind you. But we want to be led step by step by the Holy Spirit of God. Now, Lord, we pray, dear God, that you'd take our feeble efforts, because except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And Lord, that you'd take whatever efforts we do try to put into evangelism, and you'll empower them through your Holy Spirit and make them bear fruit, help the fruit to remain. We thank you for Brother and Mrs. Lawrence. We thank you for people like them that have a world vision. And God, I pray, dear God, that every layman in this church would have a vision, Lord, something that you're burdening their hearts about to reach this community and beyond this community for the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to do it. What can we do? What can we do? Why not? Why not? Why not us? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We're going to have the piano play. And you let the Lord work on you. How about it, young person? Would you come offer yourself? How about it, young person? Would you say, God, you send me anywhere, I'll go. You speak to my heart and I'll go. Hey, it's just not young people. God's calling some older folks into the mission field and the ministry. And maybe the ministry, your Jerusalem ministry that you're already doing here. Say, Lord, how can that impact beyond here? What can happen? Lord, could you take what something I'm doing and make it go farther and do things that I can't even imagine? Not so that I'd receive glory or so that my name gets up on something, just so that we can reach the world for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not important whether or not the world knows Blessed Hope Baptist Church. It's important that the world knows Jesus Christ. And we might be that vehicle that gets the message out. What can happen? What can happen? What can happen? So many things I want to tell you about. I'm going to have to do it another night. It's been good. And listen, I just think this is an important month. I wanted to lay a little groundwork tonight. Now, I want you to do something the rest of this month, and with everything that you've heard today, you just take this month and kind of sit back in that pew. As these different men come and present these different ministry ideas and mission fields, just keep your heart open. And it may not be doing what they're doing, but it may be something that you pick up what they're doing that you say, hey, why not? Hey, why not? There's something. There's an idea. Hey, there's a group of people right here in our Jerusalem we're missing. I'm challenged by that. I'm going to go Jew hunting. I mean, we better take that out too. Man. I promise you this. I will be more alert and in tune looking for someone who I might have overlooked. I think there's more Jewish people than we may know about right here in this area. Who's reaching them? Who's reaching them? There's a deaf ministry that needs to be started in this church at some point. We need to start a deaf ministry. There's a radio program. We're going to start a radio ministry here sometime in the next few months. Hey, Brother Jerry, are you going to vote on that? No. You don't like it, don't tune in. You know, don't listen to it. You know, we can start. Brother Castle's invited us to get on the radio down here. You say, well, Brother Jerry, that's exciting. Yeah, but that's a Jerusalem station. You don't think I'm not thinking? Now, by the way, I've got a standing invitation from FBN. They want us to start a radio broadcast that would go across the country, right here from Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And you say, what's the problem? Why don't you do it? I don't have time yet. But I'm going to figure out a way to do it. And Brother Klein's helped me come up with some ideas. There's, you know, And, hey, who says it has to be me? Brother Reiser doesn't do anything. He can... have Brother Reiser do it. He's not doing anything. Half the time. You wait. Half the time. He's out there playing carpet ball. Really? I go down to the classroom trying to find him. Where's Brother Reiser? Oh, he's out in the gym on break. Yeah. He could take all that time and have a radio ministry, you know. You know, and... I'm going to say, I get so many ideas that sometimes I just have to say, God, stop. My head's going to explode here. I get nervous and I walk around the church and walk in the church. And I want you to get, listen. You say, well, Brother Jerry, that's you. Listen, why not? Why not you? There's something God would have you to do right now that you're not doing, or expand what you are doing. You know what? I love it. I'd love to just be driven. I don't know. I shouldn't say this because I'm asking for it. I'd love to be driven crazy by people knock on my door and say, preacher, you know what? God spoke my heart about something. What do you think about this? And you do understand, folks, in a church and starting ministries, if 40 of you come, want to start 40 ministries, we probably can't do it. But you know what? Who knows what God will let us do? What one idea, what might become of it? And don't come and tell me something that God gave you an idea of something else I should do. I got plenty of them. Come and say, what about this? What about me being, what about this? Could I do this or could this? Why couldn't we, you know, why couldn't I? Why couldn't? You know, and everybody doing something. Man, it's exciting. I've opened up a can of woods. I'm going to be sorry. No, I'm not. Me and Brother Randy was talking about something the other day, something we're not doing that just could be unbelievable. And God's, it's his inclination. It's a direction he's going. And it's right here in our Jerusalem. And why not? Look around. The fields are white to harvest. What could happen? What could be done, you know, that's not being done, you know? And so, anyway, I need to quit. Okay, Brother Chuck, you lead us in prayer.
Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father. We heard you today. We thank you so much for Brother King that talked to us about Jerusalem and what they're doing to help there in Israel. And Heavenly Father, right now, I can't think of his name, but you know who he is, and I ask that you bless his work and take care of his wife.
Yes, God.
And Lord, just thank you.
Let me have you be seated just a second. Let me have you go ahead and be seated. I mentioned this morning, thank you, Brother Jack, for reminding me. We want to take an offering for the Lawrences, and we'll give them a check anyway from the church. But this just gives you an opportunity for a little extra blessing to them. And whatever you prayerfully consider and decide to give will be fine. But we want to do that at this time. So if I have the ushers come at this time. Brother and Mrs. Lawrence, we love you and we appreciate you. And I don't know how many times our paths will cross, but I promise you I'll pray for you. I'll pray for your wife. I'll pray for your ministry. I will do that unfailingly. And we will think of you and always think with wonderful memories about the time we got to spend together. Maybe in the future our paths will get to cross again. And we will definitely have you back sometime. We definitely have you back sometime. So this has been good. And then also I need to meet with who? Who was I going to meet with? Operation Think of It. Thank you. All right. Thank you. Operation Think of It. We need to meet with some men and some ladies that would help do some baking and get involved in this, and it'll be good. It'll be good. Can I throw out something to you? Let me just. I hear things all the time. This is the kind of things that's amazing. A guy over in Kevin's Albert's church got a burden. This is what him and his wife do. Every Friday and every Saturday, they prepare a couple platefuls of homemade desserts. They go to the hospital over there in Ellettsville. They go to the critical care waiting center. If you know intensive care, ICU waiting center, Now, you sit in there. If you've ever had anybody in ICU, you know what you go through. Every, what, hour, 2 hours, you're allowed a 10-minute visit or something like that. The rest of the time, you're sitting in there. They walk in there. They put these things down, and they say, folks, we're from Lifeway Baptist Church, and they put some gospel tracts out with it. We know that your family's in crisis. You're going through a tough time. We've brought these desserts. We're going to have a word of prayer with everybody just real quick if you'd like us to. And they pray for them, and then they hang around and talk to the folks. And they've been able to win people to Christ and pray with people over burden. Now who? I would. Where'd that come from? He's telling me about that. I'm thinking, that's genius. Did you say, Brother Jerry, why don't you do that? I don't have time. I don't have time. You know, I don't have time. I really don't. Somebody could, though. I mean, I just think if we just would look and just open our heart and just be people mindful and just say, God, where is something? Where's some gathering or something? And just have the compassion of Christ and a willingness to. I just listened to that. And I mean, honestly, I listened to that. And tears came down right down my face. And I thought, bless their hearts. They're going to somebody who is hurting. That sounds so much like Jesus to me. Does that sound like Jesus Christ to you? Goes in there with people who have family members in intensive critical care and just walks in and says, here's some refreshments. Let me have a word of prayer with you. We're here if you needed somebody to talk to, and we just want to be a blessing for a few minutes. And then after a while, they leave. They said, well, I told him, does the hospital mind? And he said, they've never asked. They're afraid if they ask, they'll say no, so it's better just to do it. He said, you know what? The people are always so overwhelmed. He said, if anybody's against it, I don't think they have to. They just, you know, I think we ought to do things appropriately, but sometimes we ought to just do something. You know, isn't that neat? Isn't that neat? Who knows? Who knows what could happen here? All right. Let's go ahead and stand and be dismissed then at this time. All right. Thank you very much, folks. We'll meet with the operation. Thank you, folks.